leader versus manager. In life, we're often inspired by leaders and kept on track by managers. But if you're running a business, then you'll need to be a bit of both. I'm Julie Stanford, and a while ago, I presented a radio show for Radio Reverb in Brighton. What my guests talked about then is still completely relevant today. In this show, my guests are Al Tredinnick, Joseph Clayton, and Phil Green, and we talk about the difference between a leader and a manager. Welcome to the three of you.
Thank you.
I must say, I'm in impressive company today, I think. I will be suitably careful what I say. Now, why are we here? We're here to talk about, is there a difference between a leader and a manager? And given that you had that idea, Al, what are your thoughts about it? I want to just take a poll around the room. You know, what are you thinking about it? And then maybe our ideas might be changed towards the end.
The reason I brought it up is I work with a lot of small companies, and I think a lot of them think that their staff, their business, whatever is there to be managed, and it's almost like a process that they need to do. And I don't think people realise the benefits of being a leader rather than just the manager. I do think there is a fundamental difference. I think when you manage people, they pretty much do it because it's, you know, you're the boss and they need to get paid and all that kind of thing. Whereas leadership is where people follow you and actually, you know, want to get what you've got. And therefore, you know, rather than you having to tell them to do everything, they'll watch to see what you do and replicate, you know, your behaviour in order to get the same success you've got. It's far more fulfilling to do as an owner of a business if you can be a leader. And it's loads easier getting your business to work properly. So I think it's, you know, that's why I brought the subject up, because I don't think a lot of people realise the difference between managing and leading, basically.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, having run businesses for over 20 years, for so many of that, I was trying to be a manager, whereas I think possibly I am more of a leader, although I'm not even sure on that. But, you know, so I was really trying to force myself into that management role and failing frequently. And then I had last year a fantastic manager working for me. And when I watched her work, I realised when you see it done brilliantly, how fantastic it is. She wasn't necessarily inspiring the staff, but she was being very clear about the way they needed to move forward. And it just struck me as I watched her work that there is a fundamental difference between the two ways of working. Joseph, clearly it's your area of specialism, really.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think there's a difference between a leader and a manager?
Well, I'm glad you told your little story first, because there clearly is a difference. So the straightforward answer is yes. However, I think what I come across is the concept of leadership sounds very sexy. It sounds very, I want to be a leader. And essentially, without making judgments, you clearly need both within a business. And sometimes when I work with people, they want leadership training. And the problem is, if you don't have good managers, if you don't understand what that difference is, and I know we're going to explore that throughout today's conversation. But so for me, a leader, as you're saying, it's somebody that clearly is more visionary, that is able to engage people around them. But I think what will be an interesting debate with the people on the table here is that leadership, the reason it's a challenge is because it evolves. So you can look at somebody like Trafalgar and say, you know, the whole situation with Nelson and what happened there, what a great leader. But the characteristics required back then are different. Do you lead from the front? Do you pull people? Or do you push people? And there's interesting debates around what good leaders are now. And what it definitely isn't is just about being charismatic, I suppose. That's how people see leadership a lot. But managers, you need good managers. You need people that understand and can drive process, that can make things glue together properly, or else what you have is very charismatic, driven, doesn't the future look great? And can people keep up with you? So I think leadership is a bigger question. It is different. You need good leaders, and how you balance both, I think, is also part of that debate.
Phil, what would you think? I mean, given that the consensus so far, I'm assuming you're going to say the same.
Well,
yes,
I've
there
say
is.
No, really.
Yes, go on. Like, be contentious, Phil.
If I was to say no, it's only because I think a really good manager can be a very good leader as well. I think occasionally really good leaders are not good managers. equally, it can be true that a good leader is a good manager as well. I think the exceptions, the ones we think of, and quite often on courses that I run, is, well, the first question is exactly what you've asked. What's the difference? And normally there's a row of blank faces in front of me. So then I say, well, give me some ideas of who are good leaders. So will you tell me who do you reckon are in the top five of the people? I get the same answers, course in, course out. So who are the top five leaders that I hear about?
Al, who would you think?
Good leaders, I don't know. More famous ones, I think people like Churchill, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's up there.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone says that.
Yeah. Joseph, would you have a...
I would say, again, it's going to be... It tends to be lots of good military leaders, so there's a host of them to choose from. Pick any one, really.
I would have thought one very good leader was Alexander the Great. Okay. Actually, he seemed to have an amazing ability to inspire people to go and impale themselves on spears.
And he was only 13. Yeah. No, the top five that come out generally are Branson, in a business sense, Gandhi, Churchill, Hitler, quite often, and so it rolls on like that.
Yeah.
And quite often it's dictators that get in that list just as easily as good business people or war heroes.
So leadership is not necessarily a good thing. It is that charisma that we seem to think is part of leadership qualities can lead people down the bad path as easily as a good one.
Well, I think it's the essence of leadership that allows people to be led in that way. And so whether it's a good path or a bad path, you absolutely believe in your leader. So you follow them wherever they go.
So when you're asking that sea of blank faces in front of you when you do your courses, that first question, what would you then say about the manager that makes them different from the leader? Or are you saying that usually it's the same person?
No, I think...
I suppose I'm a bit confused.
What we generally then do is look at what the attributes of each are. Mm. And if you look at the attributes of a leader, then charisma often is there, great communication skills, personality, presence. Those are the kind of words that tend to come up to do the leaders. Managers, you get words like organised, structured, process-driven, things like that. I think, for me, essentially the difference is that leaders get people to do stuff without them almost realising they're being asked to do it, whereas a manager will ask someone to do it and they'll do it. And that's broadly a difference, not a great description. But
it's interesting that in my own business, and it's very embarrassing to admit this, but I'm going to admit it, that leadership thing was I would get everyone all excited and they'd all go, okay, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'd just get bored. And so I'd go, yeah, okay, well, I'll leave you to it then. And I'd be going off doing something else, which must be incredibly frustrating. So I know I'm sort of putting a sideball in about entrepreneurial thinking and the way entrepreneurs are, but I tend to think that entrepreneurs are they share those qualities of the leader. What would you think, Phil?
I think that's the Richard Branson approach, and that's probably very unfair on Richard Branson, but you can just imagine him waking up one morning saying, I'm going to have an airline today. And then he'd phone somebody up and say, I want an airline, and that's it. So he would do the whipping up, get them enthused, but somebody else would do it. And that may be completely wrong, but that's the sort of feedback we get on courses. That's how people imagine him operating.
Yeah, so that's the perception of him, which is his.
It's that perception of, again, the charisma, and, he comes up with this really a stupid idea, and look at it, look what's happened.
Yeah, it turns into a brilliant one.
We all have stupid ideas, and we go back to sleep.
They remain stupid.
Or we go out and do whatever we do. But yeah, they remain stupid. So you need good people around you. I think every good leader needs good people around to implement stuff.
Al, you were nodding when we were talking about, that thing of a leader being possibly, those leadership qualities going across to entrepreneurial people as well. What would you be thinking about that?
I do, but I also think within small companies, I don't think that people, I know certainly with a lot of my clients, they don't have a choice but to be both in certain respects. It to get someone who is going to, to be that leader and then pass the responsibility on to making it happen to a manager isn't a luxury that a lot of small companies have. They have to kind of do both, I think to a certain extent, you kind of almost have to get good at managing processes but leading people rather than the other way around, if you see what I mean. People do have to do both. And I think it, particularly with small businesses, people get tied up in the trying to sort of tie down the process of how, work gets done, sales get made, whatever. And they forget that actually when they walk into the office in the morning with a big frown on their face or when something goes wrong and they panic, that actually they need to be a leader at that moment, and show people how to deal with it. Otherwise, the rest of the company just follows suit, unfortunately.
I also think In a small business, I think the leadership element comes in when you're out there selling the business, you're selling what you do to people, you're inspiring your customers as well as your team. But the management comes in with the delivery of your product or service to your customers in the right way for the right price, on time, on budget, isn't it? That's the two Absolutely. Things, really. Joseph, lots of experience of the different types of people. But thinking about smaller businesses, what are your thoughts about the differences and what needs to happen for a smaller business owner, manager, I suppose, or an MD of a small company?
Yeah, I think along with the characteristics, you have to understand the risks. And if you are this dynamic, very visionary individual, you can lose people. And I've seen that the person themselves, if they could somehow tag their DNA into everybody else around them, well, you know, Lord knows what they'd be capable of. And when you get to Richard Branson's stage, you have immense contact with all the resources you need. So you can be that decisive and almost confidently arrogant in terms of jumping there. You can't do that as a small business. And so I think, you know, picking up what you're saying, you got to make things basic and simple, manage process. And so to make anything successful, you need certain things in place, don't you? You have to have the right environment. Okay, so that office, that space where people are working in, that has to be, you know, functional. It has to be appropriate. And you have to have the right processes. So you can have very driven people, but the forms they fill out, the way you ask them to work, actually isn't the best one, no matter how motivated they are. So your processes have to be good. And then people have to have skills. So we're all involved with training people. So that's fine. That's a great process. But do people have the ability to do it well? And all those things, environments may be a little bit more interesting and cool, but the other things are quite bland, really. Mm. But you have to get those in place. And I think for a small business person to be unapologetic about their excitement and entrepreneurialism and their drive, great, nail that down and then park it, get those boring things in place, but then never lose a sight that you have the ability to grab someone's belief. Because as a leader, I think that's that where that difference is. A manager can align people to the task they need to do. A good leader grabs belief. And, you know, we're inspired by this with every movie we see.
But Joe, don't you think you get frustration with, especially these younger companies and very entrepreneurial MDs, that they've got these ideas, fantastic, they're moving things forward, and they get caught up with the clutter behind them, the stuff that's necessary. And then you get an element of frustration building up with these leadership people, and they hate being dragged back down into the detail again.
Yeah.
So constantly fighting that battle.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's about, well, one, it's about helping people understand there's no such thing as right and wrong in business. I don't think that's particularly controversial, but it's been my view for a long time. And helping things become simple. Once you start growing, complexity is your biggest challenge. You know, competition, whatever. You can understand competition, but complexity, you didn't see it coming, as you're saying. And then suddenly, instead of that idea of dragging somebody down, it's almost like, okay, the old saying, I can't see the wood for the trees. And it's breaking things down to simple context. There is 200 things that you need to get done. But if these next three things aren't done, who cares? And it's almost, you know, identifying with them. I mean, how stressful. It's exciting, but it's extremely stressful. I mean, you're running your own business yourself now, Al. And as exciting as it is, complexity is going to start sneaking right in there. Oh, yeah. And so bringing that back down to, I like the rule of three, I'm that way. What are the three things that you can get sorted? Mm-hmm. And then start thinking how you do grow and trust. So I am talking a bit too long here, but
no, it's okay. It's fascinating.
I think trust is that next thing that's very important for a leader. You know, if you're in the military, you're given people that have gone through specific academic qualifications to be trusted at your next levels down. If you're starting a small business and you need your right or left hand woman or man to get things done, how do I identify the characteristics I need from them? Mm. I don't want them exactly like me. I'm already me. And then how do I trust them and walk away and say, that's yours?
It's very hard.
And that's scary.
I think for business owners, it's terrifying. And because you build this baby, really, and you put so much time and care and money and effort into it, and you get your first clients, and you know, and it all feels so precarious. It feels as if you just looked away, the client would run away. Yeah. You know, you have to delight them because they could go anywhere, and it is a very nerve-wracking experience, I think. So you build this, you bring in your first staff. And then you have to delegate, you have to let them do it. But what you were saying about having those processes in place, I found in my, we talked about this a few shows ago when we talked about organization and getting yourself really sorted with your processes and procedures. And the thing we realized there was, in my business, when I got those very robust processes in place, it freed me up. It freed me up to know that because I'd documented the process of a particular thing we did, my staff were supported in the delivery, so they didn't have to remember everything, and I wasn't relying on them to be mini me's. They didn't have to be. It was all down in the manual, and actually it freed me up to go out and talk to the customers and freed them up to add their bit of flair to the process. So with your training, Phil, just thinking about that, how do you, we're all different. All of these business owners are going to be completely different types of people, but they are going to have those leadership qualities or skill. Well, they're not skills, are they? Possibly qualities and management skills. I don't know. You'll know better than I do. How do you help them acquire both or acquire the balancing?
Yeah, I think they are skills, and I think they can be acquired as well. I think there's some debate whether you can teach leadership or not.
I was going to say, can you teach charisma? Can you teach me, Phil, if you can?
No, that's impossible. But
oh, that was a bit mean. Oh, that was the most underhand comment made on this show so far. Can you put that in the book, Louise, please?
I think the answer is whether you can teach charisma, I don't know. You can teach leadership, because I think the first step with leadership is understanding yourself. Understanding, most importantly, your impact on people around you. So how do you come across to people, Julie? You know, what effect do you have on people?
That's a whole separate show, Phil.
But no, but knowing you as I do, not a great deal, but, you know, you have quite an impact on people. You know, you're quite a large personality. And you'd have to understand that impact on people, because it could shrivel some people. And, you know, business, that tends to be what we do when we look at training courses. The first couple of hours of a day would be really looking at how you impact other people, getting some honest feedback going within the group, trying a few scenarios out so that people can see how they impact.
And so that person, the person that you're training, the small business owner that we're talking about, has to be very ready to hear some truths, really.
And keep on hearing them and ask for them and ask for that feedback, because otherwise how do you know? And of course, everyone's different. So again, yeah, an old model now, situational leadership, which I'm sure you know, Joe. But looking at the way you behave in different situations with different people is crucial. Because if I treat you one way and treat Joe exactly the same way and Al exactly the same way, I won't get the same reaction from you all. So you have to be self-aware enough to know your impact on them and also be aware of how to deal with them.
It's fascinating stuff, isn't it? Al, when you're working with the people you're working with, do you sometimes find that they're not ready? All the things that Phil's saying, that the business owner has to be open, has to be aware of the effect of their personality. And, you know, I've had my personality, as you say, is a larger personality. And at times I know I've had that effect on people. I've seen them wither and I feel terrible about it, but I don't know what to do about it. Al, you know, I'm assuming that you can help people like me, disabled large personalities like me, to do something about that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think probably one of the easiest ways, I think, for people, I've found for people to understand that the effect they have on people. Like someone told me a great adage years ago, which was, if someone isn't watching you do something, you're wasting your time, because only you know how to do it. So you should always really have someone, you know, whether they're conscious of it or not, sort of piggybacking along with what you're doing to see how you do it, so that they can learn how to do it as well. And I think the more that sort of owner managers do that, the more they realise the effect they have on people. You know, as long as you set it up that way and say to them, look, you know, I want you to take someone with you on a sales meeting. I want them to sit next to you in a board meeting, you know. Just keep passing on your, you know, your way of thinking. And after a while, that kind of reflects back at them the way they are. And it, unfortunately, most people, you know, if you have a very dominant personality, and it does make people with it, you tend to only notice that when you see it happening.
When they're very, crying, you mean?
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's very hard to explain to someone that that is going to happen. Because unfortunately, if you're a very confident person, you don't tend to go, you don't think, oh, no, that's, you think, oh, it's fine. I'm not, you know, I don't dominate people. It's all right. Until you see someone snap, and you go, oh, actually, maybe I do. But it's the very nature of people like that. They don't, you know, they won't take your word for it until they see it happen. It's unfortunate. You can put it back together again afterwards. But I think it's trying, lots of owner managers try and do a lot of their thinking behind closed doors. You know, they don't, if they're having a bad day, they go off and kick a wall in private. You know, if they're having a good day, they'll kind of phone up a friend and tell them or something. And it's about getting that interaction with the people you work with. And that's how you get the feedback to understand how you affect them.
And this is actually going back to the MD Hub model. That's what I've heard from MDs who are part of that group, is what they love about it, is it's the one place where they can openly talk about their triumphs and also their mistakes and the things they're worried about. Because as a leader, as a business owner with your staff, it's often difficult to say, do you know, I'm really petrified because I'm scared we're going to lose this contract and then you'd all be out of a job or whatever. So, Al, yeah.
But I do think to a certain extent, I think, you know, we were talking earlier on about trust. And I think if you always try and come across as this super slick manager that never gets anything wrong, you just alienate people, because no one's like that. You know, your employees aren't sitting there thinking, God, I'm perfect, I never screw up. They're petrified of, you know, getting it wrong. And I think you need to be, to a certain extent, you need to be transparent. You know, it's like I said earlier, you need to not be afraid to have a bad day, but you have to deal with it. And therefore, you show your staff how to deal with a bad day too. If you always go off in private and kick a wall or scream into your coat or something, do you know what I mean? They're not showing them how to deal with it. And it doesn't help them trust you, because it makes you look less human if you always try and put on this face. It's much better to be kind of honest with people and do it together. If you are scared, say, look, I am scared, but this is how we're going to counteract that. This is what we're going to do. We'll get a plan in place. Mm. And that's what makes people confident then, you know?
Joseph, what are you thinking as you're hearing this? I can see your mind going, you see.
Well, I think, for one, I don't think I'm necessarily disagreeing with you, but I think people are very self-reflective. And I won't say everybody's like this, but I don't particularly like people giving me advice on things where I already know. No, it's true, I didn't do what I should have done. I just didn't really need you to tell me. And so I think as a leader, a lot of people do have those moments when they actually do understand the way I am impacting other people is not working. Because they're going to be bright by a certain definition here anyway. And so I think one is to accept that's okay. You know, it's okay. You are not as powerful and effective on everybody as you think you are. Everybody knows that we're all different and we need to adjust our style. And then you start to have to look at things of sort of a greater importance. You have to be pragmatic sometimes, because I'm quite a romantic person, but sometimes you just have to be practical. By changing my approach with these people, will it make a bigger impact? Now, interestingly enough, sometimes no. You know, I don't want to sound terrible, but sometimes actually the effort or whatever required to do that won't make the impact I need. And other times, yes, it will. And so you just start making choices with that. And so you know there's an audience within your team or your clients or customers, whatever the situation may be, where you know my style is overpowering anything. Okay, this next time I'm with them, we're going to sit, we're going to be quiet, and I'm going to ask questions. I will have no solutions. I have no answers, even though my mind's going, but you could do this. You go, it doesn't matter. Because I know by asking questions, these four people in front of me that have failed to do what I've asked them to do will come up with exactly what I want them to do, and they'll walk away and do it. And you make this nice, practical decision with it. Mm. And so, yeah, being a leader can be difficult, because you naturally think everybody will notice and be inspired and run with it. And your success has been based on the fact that worked. So your belief and your behaviors back that up. And so these little inconveniences that you find, you make a practical choice. And sometimes it is a good practical choice to just shut up, ask questions. And again, that do I pull people along? Or do I push them? And you make a decision, today I'm not going to pull you. I will not inspire and drag you into this bright new future. I'm going to let you show me the way. And then suddenly, you know, you find these wonderful things that you feel better about as well.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing to think about, actually, and talk about. And infuriatingly, we're at the end of this time together, really, almost. But what I always like to do although it's difficult with this subject, really, but is to get a tip. Now, clearly that's not quite as easy to do this time, but I think if I could just have a last thought from the three of you about if anyone listening, as an owner, and they don't have a manager that they can hand off to, what should they be thinking about and what can they do about their style with their team? And because a different style is going to be needed with the team as is needed out with the clients or whatever. So, Phil, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but just a final thought from you for this subject this week.
I think it comes back to that impact. So ask, find out what your impact is on your staff, how you affect different individuals differently, and see how they'd like to be managed, so as a leader you don't have to spend time doing it.
Excellent and succinct, so that's impressive. Al, what would be your thoughts?
I'd say a similar thing, actually. Find out what motivates the people you work with. It's not always money, sometimes it's success, sometimes it's being recognised for the work they do, but don't assume you know what motivates people. Actually sit down and ask them, take them for a coffee or a pint or something outside of work and find out why they're doing it. It will make it a lot easier to lead them.
There's one of the things you say, Al, always when you're on the show is this, and it just seems so obvious. You know, you'll say, just ask them. And you think, yeah, why didn't I think of that? That's really straightforward and simple, but true. It's true, isn't it? I suppose the true things always are simple. So, Joseph, a final thought from you on the difference between a leader and a manager and how a person listening who's running their own business, what they can take away from what we've talked about today, do you think?
Don't try to be a superhero. Engaging people is about them seeing value in you and about them believing you see value in them. And the balance between those two isn't that difficult to work out.
That's it. So all of you, the three, you see, I gave you a few more minutes thinking that you'd all just wax lyrical and you gave me succinct and simple answers. This show was originally recorded for Business as Usual on Radio Reverb. I'm Julie Stanford. Thank you for listening to Essential Business Radio.